Come? Sì. Probably for the little ones, if this sermon gets too much. Yeah, for the little ones, you know. There's a color room in the back room, so if you're uncomfortable, please. Does that sound like you can hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me at the back? We have spent, or I don't know about you, but I have spent, many of us, the last month or so singing traditional Christmas music, looking on the familiar nativity scenes, hearing the messages of peace and joy and love on podcasts and on television, and I was going to say radio, but I realized that maybe not a lot of people listen to radio. Well, yeah, we are. And our cell phones. And wading through all 23 of the new Christmas made-for-TV movies for this year. I have not seen them all. Often a lot of this kind of becomes back noise. And maybe like me, you find yourself tuning it out. But this last Saturday, on a cold, windy, rainy night, we waited, many of us waited, to welcome our refugee family. And I've been thinking myself about the millions of people from that same manger land, seeking refuge from terror and oppression, now, some 2,000 years later. Where will they all go? Who will give them refuge? Questions that do not have easy answers. But for one family seeking refuge, there was room in the inn. Someone tweeted the other day, if only we had a seasonally appropriate story about Middle Eastern people being turned away by heartless people. If only we had that. Wasn't even 140 characters. In response to this less than 140 characters, the comments were made with grave criticism. Christmas is about Christ. It has nothing to do today with Syrian refugees, or any refugees. The Holy Family was simply returning to Bethlehem for a census. Nice and clean. Factually, that is correct. But what is missing is the larger point of the Christian narrative. The Christmas story is not about a refugee family. That happens a little later when they escape to Egypt. But it is about a family seeking refuge, ordered by an occupying government to travel over 100 miles by foot for days on end so that Caesar Augustus could count the number of people he controlled. An expectant mother, nearing the end of her pregnancy, with her husband, forced to undergo the single most dangerous experience of a first century woman, giving birth. Not at home, but far away from family and friends. And they have been compelled to make this journey. And it was done, let us not forget, in the midst of a supercharged political environment. And all they needed and all they wanted was a place to rest. An ordinary family of three, Mary, her much older husband, Joseph, and a baby whose parentage was out of this world. Mary had had a supernatural encounter with an angel. She had chosen to be a surrogate mother for the God of Israel, to enter into humanity, beginning as a helpless infant, living an ordinary life in an extraordinary way, as a carpenter in a small village in Palestine. She had broken the news to her parents, who were probably a little strict, of her pregnancy, and despite what it looked like on the surface, it was not the result of a tragic indiscretion, but a divine intervention. She told them, I had a heavenly visitor. who told her she would become pregnant with the Jewish Messiah. Now, I don't know about you, but if my teenage daughter came home and told me that story, and she doesn't stop there, that would be just one thing. But she has to explain the unexplainable, that she actually believed the angel. For she truly believed this was God's purpose for her life. And she said, I'm yes. She says, yes, Lord, I am your servant, your will be done. This courageous young woman says yes, knowing that she would be an outcast, you know, possibly stoned with rocks. I just realized that I said that. I know, we can't even say it now without it. Just so. And worse still, when her fiancé Joseph found out, he might drop her like a hot potato. But instead, because God is so good, doubting Joseph receives divine encouragement, and he stands by Mary. He stands up to the ridicule, the gossip, the innuendos, the whisper, and he protects her. He refuses to reject her or condemn her or send her back in disgrace to her family. Instead, he would accompany her and the unborn child on a perilous journey, again, to satisfy the unreasonable demands of a tyrant. Traveling under the cover of darkness to avoid robbers, they arrive at Bethlehem, the city of David, unable to find refuge in a place where Mary could give birth to the greatest baby the world will ever know. A baby that is born for us, a son that is given to us, and who is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. A name above all names. A name that when spoken, heals broken hearts, gives victory over evil and death, and is the life of the world. And the best the world can offer was a stable. Tradition has it, it would be a cave. But regardless, Jesus the Messiah was born in a humble place so that you and I could truly live. Far from family and friends, it will be strangers who will come to give homage. Shepherds leaving their flocks to see what the angels had told them was the good news of great joy for all people. And these were not ordinary shepherds. Legend had it that these shepherds were tending the flocks that would have been used in temple sacrifices. They were preparing the lambs, which symbolically represented the Messiah, to be without blemish. In fact, they wrapped those lambs in swaddling clothes or bands of cloth. And that's just to add one bit of depth to the story. These men who watched the sheep meant for the slaughter received a divine message about the ultimate lamb who would offer his life as the last and ultimate sacrifice. And God sent his angels to tell them the good news to you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah of the Lord. And they were treated to a multitude of heavenly choristers. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to those whom God favors. The guardians of animal sacrifices would be the first humans to hear about the long-awaited Messiah and the first to glimpse the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, whose life would be a sacrifice for all. As witnesses to this miracle filled with the Holy Spirit, they would tell everybody what they had just seen, heard, and experienced. And many were amazed, Scripture tells us. In Matthew's Gospel, magi, or great scientific minds, came to verify the ancient prophecy and calculations of a supernova, predicted to appear in the east and would signify the arrival of the Jewish Messiah. They traveled by camel, loaded with gifts following the star, and they arrived at the exact place where love came down. To live in hearts of people everywhere for all time. And overcome with emotion, they fell down in front of God and worshiped Him. And they brought Him gifts. Gifts normally given to royalty, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They could not know then that this child's kingdom would not be of this world, and he would have no use for those gifts. And they would lead this family different than before. The parents would be gracious, the child would sleep, and maybe now with all the human activity finished, the animals would settle in for the night. This birth was the beginning of a new way of looking at ourselves as beloved, as important and essential in bringing about a new world. The hope of the Hebrew scripture has arrived, the new covenant, the ultimate text message proclaimed by the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist. In that birth, that time lives forever in human history. God interfering the lives of his people. God declaring with the Christ child, I am your God, and you are my people, and I will never leave you or forsake you. There is nothing you have done or could do that would ever stop me from loving you. For unto us this very night is born a baby that opens the eyes of the blind, frees the captives from prison, and releases those who sit in darkness. And his parents named him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, and God within us. Let us pray. Jesus, Son of God, now that we have heard the angels sing, may we not lose our sense of the joy of heaven. Now that we have been with the shepherds in Bethlehem, make us witnesses of the wonder of the love we have seen. Fill us with the quiet joy of Mary, so that we too may keep all these things.